Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And you're awake today. I don't know if you noticed how quick Ed was on that. I didn't know you were going to do that. But last week, or actually 2 weeks ago, we weren't on last week. 2 weeks ago, Ed was just kind of scanning his Bible for the program while we started, and there was a long delay. It seemed forever. It was kind of funny how that happened. We want to welcome everybody here. Ed, it's good to be here today,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And today is Sunday, July the 9th, 2023. It's hard to believe that we're in summertime.
Yes. I mean,
and the years, the time just ticks away so quickly, you know? And the older we get, the quicker it goes. Friends, we want to first of all begin this program by thanking Ray Powers for everything that he does for us here. You know, we couldn't be on last week because I was a little under the weather. And Ray puts a program on for us and gets us on the air anyway.
Yeah, just looks after us and does what he needs to do.
Ed, tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope.
Prophecies of Hope is a little ministry in Stanton, Virginia, 1743 West Beverly Street, if you're ever in the area.
Yeah.
And we have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings at 7. And we have a church service on the Sabbath or Saturday, which we have a Bible study at 9:30 and a regular worship hour at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's streamed live. And it's also, we do a Zoom for the Wednesday night Bible study, as well as for the Bible study on the Sabbath.
Yes, we do. And so that's Zoomed. If you want that Zoom link, you can email us. How would they email you, Ed?
You can contact me, Ed, at prophecyhope.com.
All right, there you go. And you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you can't remember our names, there's a general email address. You can address it to office@prophecyhope.com. Also, we have a website.
Yes.
And on that website, there are many sermons, many lectures that have been given. Each year since 2012, we've done a Bible prophecy series or a Bible series that has to do with current events and things that the Bible has told us that will occur.
Right.
And some of them haven't yet occurred.
Yes.
Right?
That means we're still in biblical times.
Amen. We're still in Bible times. Yeah. And you know, we forget that sometimes, don't we? When we're talking with people, people say, well, back in Bible times. And Ed and I always like to remember, we're still living in Bible times.
Yes.
So you can find those things there at www.prophecyhope.com. And also, some of the radio programs from 2022 and back are archived there on the website.
Yes.
So if you'd like to find those. And I think that's about it for Prophecies of Hope, isn't it, as far as what we're doing? And, you know, just we're trying to reach out to people all over the world through the internet and and have a worship service here locally each week. We're a non-denominational church. We're just more or less a ministry or a fellowship.
We concentrate on reading the Bible and see what it says and try to apply it to our lives.
Yeah, and if you've listened to some of our programs, you'll notice that We don't read things like devotionals, not that they're bad, but we try to stick entirely, strictly to the Word of God. And we try to allow the Bible to interpret itself.
Yes, that's very important.
And here recently we've been in the book of Romans, and we're going to open with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. We'll just start right where we left off 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, again, we're grateful to be here, grateful to be able to open your word and to study it, especially this book of Romans that we're studying. It tells us how we can have hope in our life, change in our life through your Son, Jesus Christ. So as we study these words, Father, give us wisdom and knowledge, guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, Ed, and over the past few weeks, we've talked a lot. We've been in Romans for quite a few weeks, actually. And a lot of people, we've talked about the gospel.
Yes.
And a lot of people understand that Jesus came and he lived on this earth and he died and he was resurrected. But they kind of leave it there.
Right.
And so what we've been doing is we've been trying to discover the full gospel message,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And And where were we last week? I know we were in chapter 6, and I didn't know if you wanted to kind of go back and do a little recap and bring us up to speed.
Right. Let's go ahead and do that. Remember in Romans 5, we talked about that we're reconciled to God by the death of his son, but we're saved by his life, the life that he wants to live us. And Romans 6 is the beginning of telling us what that's about. We talked about how that we're baptized into the death of Christ. As we're being baptized into his death, we're dying to sin, and we're being raised to a new life in him. And it goes on to talk about being a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness, a slave to being obedient to God. And we each have that choice in our life. And the very last verse of Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what we've been talking about is overcoming sin in our lives and being obedient to God. And I'm sure people are saying, come on, get real.
Yeah.
You can't do that. But you know, the Bible says we can through the power of a living Christ, through the power of Christ dwelling in us. And, you know, Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, where we're going to next, talks about this conflict he has in his life between trying to be obedient to God and following the law of God, and yet finding it difficult to do that. And remember, this is Paul speaking, not Saul. Paul is the same person as Saul, but Paul is the one that was converted by Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus. Okay. And he's still having this struggle in his life.
So what we will see is, what we have seen so far is, the Bible tells us that we need to die to our sinful tendencies.
Yes.
But when we look at that on the surface, from my vantage point, when I just read that, I say, well, that's, how do I do that?
Yeah.
That's impossible for me to die to my sins. So what we're going to see is how this can take place.
Yeah.
We're actually going to see what Paul went through and the struggle that he had.
Yes.
Right? And I'm going to tell you, these are things. Paul is not the only one. This is recorded in the Bible for us, but this happens with people today.
Yes. I mean, there's an adversary out there, the devil.
Yes.
He doesn't want you to follow God's law or do God's will in your life. He wants to destroy God's creation because he has a conflict with God himself.
Yeah, there's a, you know, this is something that I think we all need to recognize, and I don't think we talk about this a whole lot, but there is a battle going on for your soul.
Yes.
And the devil wants you, and he wants you to experience eternal death. But the Father and his Son Jesus want you, and they want you to experience eternal life.
Yeah, and he wants, God and his Son Jesus want you to experience life today.
Yes.
Not just in the future. Through going through a change in how you live your life.
Yes. When you talk about experience life today, you're talking about what, when the Bible says, I will give you life more abundantly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we're talking about life in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And so we're going to really see what that looks like in the coming chapters of Romans.
Yes.
And so where do we start here, Ed?
Let's start in verse 1. If you could read a Mark, Romans 7, 1 through 6, to get us started. It sets us up by talking about the law.
Okay, so Romans 7, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, beginning in verse 1. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound to the law, bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who has raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter.
So this is an important part of Scripture, because people often misinterpret this and say the law has been done away with.
Yes.
Let me read Romans 7:4 from another version. This is the easy-to-read version.
Okay.
It says, "In the same way, my brothers and sisters, your old selves died, and you became free from the law through the body of Christ. Now you belong to someone else. You belong to the one who was raised from death. We belong to Christ so that we can be used in service to God."
Hmm. That makes a lot of sense.
So we'll go on and talk about the law here in this next section in Romans 7:7. It's when we try to save ourselves through our own righteousness or self-righteousness,
mm-hmm.
and we realize we can't do this on our own.
Right.
That we can try to be obedient to God, but we end up failing because we lack that power to do it. And that's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, provides for us. He came from heaven and became like us.
Mm-hmm.
And he experienced what we experience. And yet, through everything he experienced, he lived his life here on this earth without sin.
That's right.
He trusted in his Father. He came to do the will of his Father. And that's how he was victorious over sin on this earth. And so now he can provide us with that experience that he experienced. He can provide us ways to overcome sin in our life and to be victorious in that.
Hmm.
So that's why I was talking about, you know, being married to another, even him that was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit to God in verse 4.
See, we can't serve two masters, can we?
No,
you can't. That's what the Bible tells us. So When we look at what we're saying here, as far as you mentioned that Christ came and he came in the flesh as we are.
Yes.
We're told that in Hebrews chapter 2.
Yes.
Would it be too distracting to go there and just look at what you said from the Bible?
That's fine.
So let's just go to Hebrews chapter 2. And I think this is exactly what you were just saying, Ed. I'm going to start in verse 10.
Okay.
Hebrews 2, verse 10. It says here, "For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings."
Yes.
So we're talking about Jesus Christ,
yes,
the captain of our salvation, right? Verse 11 says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, here I am in the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself," speaking of Jesus, "he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil."
Yes.
And I hope I'm not taking this out of order on you.
No.
And just to finish this chapter out, there's only four more verses. It says in verse 15, let me read that last verse again, verse 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." And then verse 15, "And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he," that's Jesus, "had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." So that word propitiation means to make amends. And in the final verse says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted."
Right.
That's good news.
He's able to rescue us.
Yes.
Let me read.
Get on your mic there, Ed.
Verse 17 and the King James. It says, verse 16, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He became like us."
Yes, he did. You know, Ed usually uses his computer, and he turned his head to look at his Bible there. Yeah. And we have to be right on these microphones. But yeah, so this is really important, isn't it, that we understand what's taking place, because it can be helpless if I think I have to do it on my own.
Right.
And that's what Paul is realizing here, that he doesn't have to do it on his own.
Let's be honest. Let's be real. When we look at the life that we live on this earth and everything that goes on and the work of Satan in this world, it seems overwhelming that I can be obedient to God's law.
It does. It really does.
But that's why we need his son, Jesus Christ. That's why his son was sent. His son was sent not just to die for our sins and pay the penalty of my sins, but he also is now able to live in our hearts to help us overcome sin in our lives.
And this is part of the victory.
Yes. This is part of the complete gospel. It's not just, I want to be careful how I say just. It's not only the death of Christ.
Right.
But it's also his life that he now wants to live in us.
And I think that the vast majority of us, myself included, all of my life, I thought that once he died, it was finished. Because Jesus said, "It is finished." But he was talking about that aspect of his ministry.
Yes.
It wasn't finished because he had to be resurrected.
And we still have a life to live.
Yes, we do. And we need help in this world.
Yes.
And so all of this goes, it's amazing how all this links together with even with John chapters, 14 through 17, or 12 through 17 even. So are we going to pick up here?
Yeah, let's continue.
I hope I didn't divert us.
No, you're fine. Let's continue on in Romans 7. I want to start reading Romans 7:7 and go on for a while. I want to take our time because it's a little bit confusing about how he's talking here. This is the Modern King James Version, verse 7 of Romans 7. "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Let it not be said. But I did not know sin except through the law. For also I did not know lust except the law said, you shall not lust." So here he's saying, I wouldn't know what sin is except through the law of God.
Sure.
The law of God tells me what is right and what is wrong, basically was what he's saying. Verse 8, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment," or taking advantage of the commandment, "worked in me all kinds of lust. For apart from the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Verse 10, "And the commandment which was to life was found to be death to me." Those that follow the commandments of God have life. Those that disobey God's commandments, the wages of sin is death. We just read that. Verse 11, "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me." What does sin do? What does Satan do? He deceives us.
Right, that's right.
Verse 12, "So indeed the law is holy, the commandment is holy and just and good."
So this isn't doing away with the law.
Yeah, Paul recognizes the righteousness of God's law. The right way of living is to be obedient to God's law.
Yes, which is really, it's what Jesus preached the whole time he was here on the earth.
Yes, that's what he lived.
Absolutely, and he showed us by example what we should be doing.
Look at the life of Christ according to the Word of God.
Mm.
He was kind to everyone. He met everyone's need. He would heal anyone that came to him. He would heal whole villages and towns and cities. And he would preach the good news of the gospel, the right way to live, not only for the future promise of eternal life, but for the life that people were living on earth at the time Christ was here.
Hmm.
It was literally good news to them.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Jesus is he didn't take from someone to give to another.
Right.
Right? He made all of the provisions that were needed. And this is what God's kingdom is all about. The earthly kingdoms, it seems like we have to, the old expression, you rob Peter to pay Paul,
yeah.
Right? You've heard that.
Yeah.
And it seems like we take from a group and give to others. Well, we should all pull together if we need to help someone.
Yeah.
But God's kingdom does away with that. And that's what Jesus did when he came. He was giving them a glimpse of God's kingdom by healing people, by feeding them, by doing these things, showing the love that God has
yes.
for his people.
Yes. Let me read verse 12 again, and we'll continue on. So indeed the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. Then has that which is good become death to me? Let it not be, but sin, that it might appear to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, in order that sin might become exceedingly sinful by the commandment. It's not the law that causes death, it's sin that works death in me. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Pay attention, the law is spiritual.
Yes, it is.
Verse 15, for that which I do, I know not. For what I desire, that I do not do. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I do not desire, I consent to the law that it is good. What he's saying is, I want to be obedient to God. I want to follow his commandments. But I find that the things I want to do, I end up not doing. And things that I don't want to do, breaking God's law, that's what I end up doing.
That seems to be the experience of life in this world.
Yes.
For all of us. That's just the nature that we are born into. This is what happens to us.
Yes, this is what we've inherited from Adam and Eve.
Now, the beauty of it is, we just read in Hebrews chapter 2, that Christ inherited that same propensity.
Yes.
But he overcame.
Yes, he did.
And because of what he did,
he can now rescue us in our time of need.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And we'll see how more as we go through this.
Yes. Verse 17. But now it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I do not find. For I do not do the good that I desire, but the evil which I do not will, that I do. But if I do what I do not desire, it is no more I working it out, but sin dwelling in me. I find then a law. When I will to do the right, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warning against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the will of the law of sin. So he has this conflict in him.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that the law of God is good and righteous and holy and spiritual, and he wants to be obedient to God. He wants to do those things, but yet he finds himself being overcome by this law of sin that dwells in him. And he's saying here at the end of Romans 7, How do I solve this problem? How do I get over this problem that I'm experiencing? Who will deliver me from the body of this death?
I think that every person listening to this program understands the struggle.
Yes.
Every person.
It's real.
This is life. This is the life that we live today.
Yes.
Right? There's a constant struggle over the things that I want to do carnally, and that I know that God wants me to do.
Let's face it, the devil is in the world telling people to sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over every place you look. Billboards, music, TV, movies, you know, YouTube, whatever.
It is amazing the pressure that's being put on people today in all of these aspects.
Yeah.
There's really, how many times have you turned on the TV and found something spiritual or something godly?
You don't find it very often.
You don't find it very often. And typically, a lot of times it'll be on a specific network that is trying to do these types of things. And even then, we have to be careful of the message that's being propagated.
Yeah, we need to make sure it's according to the words written on the page of the Bible.
Absolutely. Yeah. If it's biblical, then let's take it.
The Bible talks about Satan having his own ministers trying to lead you astray. If you're not caught up in the world, he'll try to lead you astray through false religion.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
And so I think that here is the key, Ed, to me when I look at this. I've heard you say this before. Paul is real.
Yes.
He's real. And when you're saying that, you're talking about the fact that he recognizes his need. We have to recognize our need in order to be helped, no matter what our downfall is. If I don't admit that I have a problem, then I'm never going to find the need for Jesus to help me in my life.
Right. So here in Romans 7, Paul is being real about his experience in this life that he lived on this earth, and I can definitely relate to that in my experience in my life on this earth.
Yes, I can too.
But you know, there's a solution to this issue that he has, and he talks about it in Romans chapter 8.
Okay, so he's not just left with this dilemma.
No.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's great, actually. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
So are we going to go into that?
Yes, let's go into Romans
awesome.
8. And if you could read verses 1 through 4.
Sure. Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Okay, so let's talk about these terms, flesh and spirit here.
Okay.
I want to go back to Romans 7. Remember that Paul says the law of God is spiritual.
Hmm.
In verse 25, he talks about the flesh and the law of sin. That with my mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Mm-hmm.
So here we're in verse chapter 8, we're talking about spirit, the walking in the spirit versus walking in the flesh.
Okay, so we're talking about, it's contrasting our carnal desires to the things that God has set forth for us.
Yes, exactly. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Remember, Paul was talking about this law of sin that dwells
in
him.
Yeah, I do remember that.
You know, when you look at the written commandments of God.
Mm-hmm. Those two stone tablets, right, with the Ten Commandments on them.
They're external to ourselves. But Paul was talking about this law of sin that dwells in him. What's going to have more influence over your way of life? Something that dwells in you or something that's external?
You know, here's an illustration. You can have food on the table and it can look delicious and you can actually think about what it tastes like, but it doesn't do you any good until you ingest it.
Right.
You have to put it in you.
And so here in Romans 8:2, it says, but the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, who is in Christ?
Who is in Christ?
Yeah.
Well, we're supposed to be in Christ. The Father is in Christ.
Yes.
Right?
So the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is talking about the Spirit of God.
Yes, His
and
Father.
And it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the new covenant, Mark?
It's actually the law written in our hearts.
And minds.
Yeah.
And this is how it happens. It's through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and this is not a new idea, is it?
No.
This was actually talked about in the Old Testament as well, in Jeremiah,
yes.
Right? About, go ahead, Ed, you were going to say something.
Romans 8:2, again, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, God's commandments written in my heart and mind, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now I have God's commandments dwelling in me. I have something to fight against this law of sin that dwells in me.
Yes. You know, if when I was in school, if you did something wrong, sometimes you would have to write something on the blackboard over and over. I will not run in the hallway. Well, you can write that. Yeah, I had to write that one time, and I had to do it 100 times.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I still wanted to run in the hallway. So until that thought is in my heart,
right,
I'm never truly going to overcome it, right?
Right.
And that's what you're saying.
Yes, let's continue reading Romans 8:3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, there's nothing wrong with the law of God. It's the weakness of my flesh not being able to incorporate it into my life. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Remember, Christ was came in our likeness. He was came in the nature of Abraham, the seed of Abraham.
Right.
And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin because he lived his life without sin.
Sinning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So that this righteous law might be fulfilled in us. We might be doing those things. We might be experience a change in our life. Following God's commandments from our heart, from our desire to serve God because of what he's done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And it says, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So what does that mean? Don't walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Well, I think, doesn't Galatians kind of give us that contrast?
Yes, it tells us, it defines exactly what each one of those things are.
Ed, I know we talk about this a lot,
yes.
Don't we? And it's because this is so important, and it's the missed part of the gospel for many Christians, for people who go to church every week after week, and they read and study their Bibles, they miss this. So can we turn to Galatians chapter 5?
Yes, please. Let's do that.
Galatians chapter 5, while we turn there, this was one of the texts that my mom made me memorize as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was Galatians 5:22-23.
Okay.
And when we get there, I'll share that with you just for a moment. So let's see. Let's begin here in Galatians 5:16, because we're talking about walking in the Spirit versus the flesh, right? So this is Paul speaking, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's the answer.
Yes.
And then it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
We just talked about that.
That's Paul's struggle.
Yeah.
That's our struggle.
Yes.
So this is, again, Paul gets it, doesn't he? But, verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So in other words, there are more.
Yeah.
Right? Anything like that. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, it doesn't end there, does it?
No.
And this was the part that my mom made me memorize as a kid. And I've got it memorized word for word. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit. So we're contrasting the flesh to the Spirit.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
Yes.
So we just read in verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then here it says, against doing these things of the Spirit, there is no law.
Yeah, so you're not under, you're not breaking any law. You're not under the penalty of the law.
Right.
But if you do the things of the flesh, the works of the flesh, it plainly says, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They're breaking God's law.
Yes.
They're under the penalty of the law.
Exactly, and that's why it enumerates those things. They all have to do with the law of God. Yeah. So then after it gives us the contrast between the fleshly desires and the fruit of the Spirit, it says in verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
But those belonging to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and lust.
Mm.
That reminds me of Romans 6.
Aha.
Where we're buried with baptism into Christ's
death.
Let's
look at that again.
All right.
Can we go?
Yes.
Or were you done here?
Yeah, yes. Let's go there.
Because that's a great, see, this is a great linkage to just sew all of this together and help us to see how we are helped by Christ Jesus today.
Yes, can you read Romans 6, 1 through 6?
Okay. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?
Crucified with Christ.
That's what we just read.
Yes.
Crucified the flesh. Verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life.
Walking in the Spirit.
Amen. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection.
So see, this is something I can't do myself.
Right.
I need Christ dwelling in me to help me overcome sin in my life, to become obedient to God, to have the fruit of his Spirit dwelling in me.
Yes. So here's the question. How do I get to that point? How do I get to where I have Christ in me? And how do I know that this has happened? I mean, these are questions that I know people are going to ask. They look at this and they say, okay, well, that sounds good, but how do I overcome? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we're sinners.
Yes.
That the things that I want to do. See, here's the problem, friends. Most people that are living a certain lifestyle, it doesn't matter. To them, it's like, well, this is just what I want to do.
Right.
So the first thing is you have to want to do it. You have to, again, you have to recognize that, you know, God's not going to force you to do something that you don't want to do. So we have to want to do it first.
Let me take you to a few different verses, some of what we've read before. I want to go to Matthew 11.
Okay.
And read verses 28 through 30. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you experience problems in your life? Do you experience heavy burdens?
Absolutely.
Come to Christ.
We all do.
There's no restrictions in doing this.
Right.
There's no requirements. I have to be a certain way, a certain lifestyle. Come as you are.
That's right.
Romans 5 tells us that. When we go to Romans chapter 5, it says in verse 6, for we yet being without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commands his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Mm.
All we need to do is to come to Christ as we are.
See,
and let Him work in our lives.
And this is what happens, I think, to a lot of people is they read this and they say, I'm not good enough.
None of us are good enough.
That's exactly right. None of us.
In fact,
not one.
How fortunate you are not good enough,
yeah,
because you're the person that Christ came to save.
Amen. And so recognizing that, recognizing and wanting to make that change. If you get to that point in your life, and I hope that each and every person eventually does, pray about it. Get on your knees and pray to God and ask Him to send the Spirit of His Son into your heart,
right,
to help you to. If you don't, you may not have the desire to. You might really like the things that you're doing. Let's face it.
Yes.
The devil makes sin a lot of fun, right? And you might not want to give up certain things, but you know in your heart, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Pray for God to give you the desire to want to hate that sin.
Can I give you an example of this?
Please.
I had an experience with a client the other day. I was working with some basic mobility skills with this lady, working on getting up from laying down to sitting on the edge of the bed, mm-hmm, working on sitting balance, and we were going to try to work on going from sitting to standing.
Okay.
There was one problem, though. This lady was disoriented to where she was in space.
Oh.
When she was sitting upright, she felt like she was falling forward.
Oh, wow.
So if you feel like you're falling forward, you're going to be pushing yourself backwards. And she was pushing herself backwards into one side.
Hmm.
So we started working on getting up from laying down. That went pretty good. And sitting balance went pretty good as well. But when we went to go sit to stand, in order to stand up, you have to lean forward to get your weight over your feet. And there's no way that was going to happen.
Hmm.
She just pushed back. She was almost laying backwards on the bed because she was so fearful of falling forward. Because
right,
to her, her perception was feeling like she was falling forward.
Okay.
When we come to Christ, we're disoriented to what is right and wrong.
Very true. That's a
and
great illustration.
We feel we need to live our lives in a certain way to be happy, to overcome burdens in our life, and in reality, it may not be the right way to live. It may not be the way Christ wants you to live.
Mm.
In order to obtain true happiness and true relief of your burdens. So we have to trust in Christ's way of doing things.
Amen. Amen.
And this lady has hope. The more she gets in these positions where she feels like she's going to be falling over, the more she can be reoriented to what is actually straight up and down.
Part of that is trusting the therapist working with her, right?
Exactly.
That you're not going to allow her to fall.
And we're talking about these things, why she's feeling these things.
Right.
And even though she's feeling this way, it's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 11 talks about learning of Jesus, taking His yoke upon you.
He can help you
readjust your mind in what is right and wrong. It takes time, it takes experience, it takes willingness to be able to think differently than we're thinking now, and to realize that maybe God has a better plan for my life than what I do.
Yeah, and trusting that His plan is better.
Yes.
But in order to trust that, we have to know some things about Him.
Uh-huh.
And we have to understand the love that He has for us.
You know, I think what you showed us in Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that He has experienced life on this earth. He was made the captain of our salvation and perfected through sufferings.
Yeah, Jesus actually did. The Father sent His Son specifically for that.
He was perfected to be our comforter, our intercessor, our advocate, our helper in our time of need, because He has experienced these things and has overcome these things. God was preparing Him to help us overcome sin in our lives. He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father, Galatians 4:6.
Yeah.
And so when we look at making changes in our life, it involves trust in the Word of God, trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. And it may not feel comfortable.
Right.
It may be fearful.
Yes, it likely will be. So, you know, let me ask you, you mentioned that sometimes the things we might realize or we might not want to recognize, that God's ways are better than what we might have planned.
Right.
Have there been things, and I'm not asking you to share what they are, but have there been times in your life where you wanted to do something and you knew God wanted something else for you?
Yes.
And were there times during that you trusted God instead of going with your way?
I prayed about it a lot.
Okay.
And I let God change some things.
What was the result in your life as far as the over? How do you feel
about it? At the moment, it was painful.
Mm.
In the long term, I can see God was really working in my life through this.
Mm. And you say you're a better person as
yes,
a result.
Yes, my life is better because I'm living according to God's law versus my own way.
Right. And so now you can look back and see how your life has changed.
Yes.
And things are better for you now.
Yes.
Even though this world is still a difficult place.
Yeah.
You know. And so this is practical application of what Paul is teaching.
Right.
Right? And friends, we have to be real and we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, you can say, well, I want to do it. And I think all of us, in a sense, do.
Paul did. In Romans 7.
But it takes action on our part.
Right. It takes faith and trust.
Absolutely. And faith is not actually, maybe not, well, the definition of faith, I'm going to read
Hebrews
it.
Chapter 11, verse 1.
Yes, I'm going to read that right from Hebrews. And here we go. This is the definition of faith from the Bible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
So what does that mean, Ed, when you see that?
I read in God's Word the way God created us to live.
Mm.
Yet I don't see at the moment happiness in doing these things because I'm convinced this other way of living will bring happiness to me.
Right.
But if I step out in faith and trust in the Word of God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and making steps through the power of God through His Son living in me, then I can gradually start seeing change in my heart, my mind, and actually understanding. I was disoriented before, like this lady was,
yes,
I was talking about.
Yeah, that's a great illustration. It really is. And this world disorients us so quickly.
Yes.
You know, and that's why we have to keep our eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
You know, if you focus on one thing, it can help you to become more stable.
Yes.
Right? So if we turn our eyes upon Jesus.
Amen.
and look at Him, it takes the peripheral vision of all of these things that are going on outside tend to fade away.
Now, as you go through this experience, your, quote, friends,
mm-hmm,
your family may try to pull you back the other way.
Right.
They'll look at you like you're crazy.
Yeah.
They will say things like, come back to us. We like the old person you were.
Right. Yeah, and that can happen. That can happen. And, you know, the thing is, if someone is a true friend to you, regardless of your decision, they're going to be your friend.
Yes.
And if they're not a true friend, then, you know, according to the Bible, you're going to lose those who you care about.
Yeah.
Because they're going to disown you as a result of some of the decisions that you make.
Right.
You might lay down a lifestyle and they say, oh, well, we used to party together. You know, why don't you party like, well, I still love you, but I just don't participate in those things anymore.
Yeah. I found something better.
You're welcome to come over and maybe we can do a little, you know, just hang out at the house, out in the yard, or take a walk in the park, but I'm not going to party like that anymore. And really, how much better is life when we are coherent and we're not, our mind's not altered by drugs and alcohol and all of those chemicals?
Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light.
Mm-hmm.
You know? it's a different way of living, different from the world, but there's joy and peace and rest.
Amen.
In following Christ.
You know, we think of a yoke of, like, when two ox are yoked together, they like to yoke them evenly so that one's not doing all the work and the other one's just kind of dragging along. So that's why they're equally yoked. Mm. And the Bible speaks about being equally yoked. And it says, do not become unevenly yoked or unequally yoked with an unbeliever.
Right.
So this is why if we yoke ourselves to Christ,
yes.
We're not carrying the burden. He's carrying the burden.
He has the experience.
Yes,
he does. He's been here. He's lived the life on this earth. He also understands heavenly things.
Amen.
And he can share those things with us and direct us in the right direction.
Yes. And so are we going back to Romans? To,
yes.
Where were we? I forget where
Romans
we were.
Romans 8. Let's continue on. Can you read verses 5 through 11 for us?
Sure. Romans 8. Let me get there.
And just remember the definition of Galatians 5, what the flesh is and what the spirit is. What is the fruit of walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit?
Okay. Yeah, we just read that a few moments ago. So it's Romans 8, 5 through 11?
Yes.
All right. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
So in verse 8, it says, they who are in the flesh cannot please God.
Mm.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if the spirit of God dwells in you. The spirit of Christ's Father, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever name you mm-hmm. have for God.
Right.
But it says this, but if anyone has not the spirit of Christ, mm. he is none of his. He is none of God's, because there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Yeah.
So verse 10 of Romans 8 said, and if Christ is in you, indeed the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Mm. Christ causes the righteousness of the law to be fulfilled in us.
To be written on our hearts, right?
And basically, so we are walking in that life, walking in the Spirit, having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and there's no law against doing those mm-hmm. things.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think about this just to help with an illustration. A lot of people might say, the law written in your heart. Well, I'm sure anybody that has kids have seen their kid do something. Maybe you have them playing a sport or something they're doing, or maybe they're in school and you just say, his heart isn't in it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And what does that mean?
I mean, he's not really interested.
It's not in his heart to do it.
It's not fun. You know, it's not enjoyable. It's not fulfilling.
But when they once they do something and they do that sport or that subject and they start to enjoy it, what happens? They begin to they start to excel
and grow and develop.
And yes, yeah. And so this is the same way. If you can have the law written in your heart, if your heart's not in it, then you're not going to move forward in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
But if your heart is in it and Christ is in you, then you will be motivated. And I'm going to tell you, it's a hunger and a thirst that is very satisfying, and you're always wanting more.
You're not in this relationship alone. It's you and Christ.
Amen.
And Christ brings to us the presence of his Father.
That's right. He does.
To empower us to do his will in our lives.
Yes. So, Ed, we have a couple of minutes, and I know we're not going to get through this chapter, but I didn't know if you wanted to maybe do a summary or concluding remarks, or if you wanted to just kind of finish out.
I want to share something again from Paul.
Sure.
Found in Philippians chapter 3.
Okay. Philippians 3?
Yes, I'm going to read this, starting in verse 8, and I'm going to read down to 14.
Okay.
But no, rather, I also count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have suffered the loss of all things and counting them to be dung, so that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Talking about when Christ comes again.
Okay.
Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I am pressing on, that if I may lay hold of that for which I was also taken hold of by Christ Jesus. My brothers, I do not count myself as to have taken possession, but one thing I do, forgetting the things behind and reaching forward to the things before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's continuing to live his life for Christ. No matter what has happened in the past, he's continuing to press forward to the mark of the high calling of God.
So we need to press forward.
Yes.
And friends, you know, unfortunately we're out of time, so we're going to have to close with prayer. But continue to press forward until we meet here again. You know, and we'll pick up where we left off. And so let's close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening, and we just ask that your Spirit will be with us until we come together again. Father, we pray that we can have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in our hearts. Help us, Father, to want to serve you. Give us the ability to be able to do so and to be able to live in the Spirit and according to the Spirit. And Father, we ask for these things and for your blessings, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, Ed, thanks for doing this again this week.
Great.
And friends, we'll be here again next week, 7 p.m., New Visions Radio. And until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.